Support for this broadcast of Two Rivers 30 Minutes comes in part from a grant from Striffler's Family Funeral Homes.
From TubeCityOnline.com, this is Two Rivers 30 Minutes, a weekly series of interviews with people making news around the McKeesport area. Produced by Tube City Community Media Incorporated, a nonprofit corporation. I'm Jason Toger, the executive director. On this show, we talk one-on-one with elected officials, community leaders, and others who are trying to make a difference in the Monongahela area. And we also take your questions and comments on Facebook and Twitter at Tube City Online.
It has become a popular fall tradition. It's not Oktoberfest, and it's not even Friday Night Lights. It's St. Sava's, a Taste of Serbia festival that happens in McKeesport around this time of year. In fact, it's happening this weekend at St. Sava's Serbian Orthodox Church on Hartman Street in McKeesport. That's over there near Auberly and Penn State Greater Allegheny campus. What is the Serbian Orthodox Church, and why has this Taste of Serbia festival become such a highlight for so many people for their fall? Father Stephen Rocknidge is the pastor at St. Sava's, and he's on the line with us right now. Good morning, Father Rocknidge.
Good morning, Jason. How are you?
I am very good. So tell us, first of all, this is, I believe, the sixth annual Taste of Serbia festival. Unfortunately, as some people are hearing this on Sunday morning, they may have missed it already. But for those who haven't, tell them what they might be missing if they don't come out and see you.
Our St. Sava Taste of Serbia festival is a combined food cultural festival. We actually started it in 2020 during the height of the COVID-19 pandemic.
Oh boy.
We did it precisely because we still wanted people to feel part of the community, and most Orthodox ethnic parishes, apart from their spiritual life, the selling point is the ethnic foods. Mm-hmm. So our Taste of Serbia festival provides a full service buffet, walk-up ordering, dining in, taking out. Our guests who come can enjoy their food in our church hall, but also out in the courtyard. And God willing, we'll have a great weekend weather this Friday and Saturday, so we're looking forward to it.
And you've also have added live music. I think this year our friends from Orchestra Probeta are going to be joining us. We had them on a couple of weeks ago on this program.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Actually, my son Dushan is one of the ringleaders of the Orchestra Pobeda. They're a wonderfully talented group of musicians. Mm-hmm. Three of the guys are parishioners of our parish. So we're looking forward to that. They draw a nice mix of young and old to listen to their music. And we're excited for that.
Did you have to twist their arms to come and play the Taste of Serbia? Just a little bit.
They kind of get booked ahead of time, so
okay.
Yeah, we had to talk to them and kind of gently remind them where their
loyalties are supposed to be.
Absolutely.
A little arm twisting behind the scenes there. Taste of Serbia Festival. Give us, Father, if you can give us the website for St. Sava's Church so that people can check it out.
All lowercase. S-T... SAVA.org.
Okay. SaintSavaPA.org for St. Sava Church, which is just off of Route 148 in McKeesport. It is a Serbian Orthodox Church. And we're going to talk a little bit about that faith tradition as well. I think when we had the fellows from Orchestra Pobeda on, we were talking about McKeesport International Village, which is this big folk music festival that's been going on for more than 60 years now in McKeesport. And that was often done by... In the past, by the ethnic churches. How do ethnic churches like yours, how do you survive in this era when people are more fragmented and they may have lost touch with their roots over the years?
One of the things that has really helped us is we've got a great webmaster that has really built up our St. Sava website, both on YouTube and also on Facebook. And we've really increased our online messaging and that, and it's really helped draw people in. I mean, just in the past 2 years, we've acquired 8 new young adult catechumens who've become Orthodox, and I really believe it's because, as you made reference to before we started, people are searching. Mm-hmm. You know, they want some stability in their life. And I think, you know, parishes are able to reach out to them using social media and providing some of the wonderful talents that we have in our parishes, you know, culture, food, dance, you know, most of all spirituality. I think that really helps. I really do.
We're talking with Father Stephen Rocnić. He's the pastor of St. Sava Serbian Orthodox Church in McKeesport. This Friday, as we are taping this, and Saturday, they are having their Taste of Serbia Festival. If you're hearing this on Sunday morning, unfortunately, you've missed it. But we're going to talk more about St. Sava's and their faith tradition there. How long does the church go back? When was the church founded?
The church was founded at the turn of the century, in 1901.
Okay.
We'll be celebrating our 125th anniversary this coming year, 2026. It was actually founded and consecrated by a Russian Orthodox saint, Saint Tikhon of Moscow.
Really?
Interesting little sidebar to the church history is that in 1901, believe it or not, because there was such a mix of Russian and Serbian immigrants, in typical American fashion, they went to court to decide what the church would be named. The Russians wanted St. Nicholas, the Serbians wanted St. Sava, and because the Serbians had a slight majority, the judge ruled that the Serbians could pick the title of the church, which they did, St. Sava, but as a token of, I guess, spiritual love to the Russians, they put the icon of St. Tikhon of Zadorsk on the iconostasis of the church.
So St. Tikhon in Moscow, as we were talking, I was looking this up. He was canonized in 1981, so fairly recent in the lives of the saints, but lived until 1925.
He did wonderful evangelistic work during the century. I mean, he was in New York, he was in California, he was in the tri-state area here, and he founded several churches.
I'll bet not that many churches in the Pittsburgh area can have that honor of saying that they were consecrated by someone who later became a saint.
You're exactly right. You're exactly right.
That's amazing. Where was the church originally located? I'm assuming not
right
in the
down by McKeesport Hospital on Hazel Street.
Okay.
And the church proper here on Harbor Street was built in 1950. Because obviously at the time the church was growing, there was a small area there, so we were able to move up the hill here, and we've been here ever since.
We're talking with Father Stephen Rocnić from St. Sava's Serbian Orthodox Church in McKeesport. What would have the life of the community, of the Serbian community, have been like in McKeesport when the church was founded? I mean, I'm assuming these were all recent immigrants who probably were working in the steel mill.
Of course.
Yeah.
At that time, Serbians were trying to acclimate to you know the society. Mm-hmm. Most of the families were first generation. So we've had, you know, I'm the 20th priest in 124 years.
Okay.
Father Popovich, God rest his soul, was a real prime pioneer back in the early 30s through the early 70s to stabilize the church, to start the church choir, the different organizations, auxiliary organizations, the women's club, the men's club. I mean, he did all of that. I've been here since 1988, so he and I have kind of like been the longest tenured pastors here. And I think in 1950, when the church was built here, you were starting to see, you know, second and third generation Serbs. And Father Popovich, again, to his credit, in the early 1950s, wrote an entire block of services in English, which at the time was unheard of.
That was my next question. Would it be, were most of the services conducted in Serbian?
Actually, it was the old Church Slavonic.
Okay.
And now, in the late 60s, early 70s, the church proper went to the vernacular language, Serbian, for those who spoke Serbian.
Yeah.
Now, though, I mean, we've got to be realistic. You know, in 2025, you know, 90% of our services are in English.
Uh-huh.
So I've got, you know, fourth and fifth generation Serbs. I've got a lot of converts, and you really can't be doing a foreign language for people who are coming to and trying to find their place with God's kingdom.
From the Tube City Center for Business and Innovation in downtown McKeesport, this is Two Rivers 30 Minutes on Radio 81 WEDO, 1550 and 101.1 WZUM, the Pittsburgh Jazz Channel, and Tube City Online Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Support for this broadcast comes from the City of McKeesport Fair Housing Office. Fair housing is your right, and the Fair Housing Act prohibits discrimination in housing because of race, color, national origin, religion, sex, gender identity, sexual orientation, family status, or disability. That includes renting or buying a home, getting a mortgage, seeking housing assistance, or engaging in other housing-related activities. For more information about Fair Housing Act protections in the City of McKeesport, call 412-675-5020, extension 635.
We're talking about St. Sava's Serbian Orthodox Church in McKeesport. We'll be celebrating its 125th anniversary next year. Father Stephen Rocknage is the pastor there, stsavapa.org. So originally Serbian immigrants to the United States, settling in the Mon Valley area in the hills of Pennsylvania to work in the steel mills. How did that, as you mentioned, second and third generation children started to be raised in the church? How were things affected after World War II? Because I'm assuming before the war, people could write to the old country, they could bring relatives over. After World War II, we see the rise of communism, and we see a lot of that communication, I'm assuming, was cut off. Am I right?
Yes, you are. Okay. And there was a lot of influx of refugees fleeing the homeland and also different parts of Europe. Some of our parishioners, I mean, I've got a family that their grandparents were in the prison camps in Italy, escaping Nazism.
Wow.
And then came over and, you know, raised them. And there's also refugees that came from the Kosovo wars in the 90s here to escape the bombing, sadly, by our own country of Belgrade. And they came here and... initially, they would settle in some of the stronger Serbian communities, like the metropolitan Pittsburgh area, for a while. And then they opted to go like to other stronger areas, Chicago, New York, Milwaukee. I mean, you know. But I think the influence of communism, at least for the Serbian church in America, really was impacted in the early 60s when there was a what we call a schism between the patriarchal church, the Church of Belgrade, and also the Serbian churches here in America, and what they call the Free Church, trying to break themselves off from Belgrade because they thought Belgrade was being run by the communists, which it wasn't. So that schism really divided parishes. And it took a good, early 60s through the late 80s before that whole thing was resolved.
There's an old joke that I think every pastor tells at some point about a man who's rescued on an island, and they find three huts, and the people say, well, what are those huts? And he says, well, that hut is where I live. And he says, the second hut's where I go to church. And they said, what's the third hut? He says, well, that's where I used to go to church, but I don't go there anymore. I bet a lot of people these days probably don't realize that there are sort of three main traditions of Christianity. There's Eastern, Western, and Protestant. How does the Eastern tradition differ from the Western tradition?
Up until the mid 11th century, the Christian Church was united. The West was headed by Rome. The East was headed by Constantinople. Today, Istanbul, Turkey. The churches in 1053 kind of excommunicated themselves from one another. Some doctrinal issues, some practical issues of how the services were being handled and whatever. Suffice to say that today in 2025, Rome and the Patriarch of Constantinople, Bartholomew, are still trying to see what they can do to bring the churches closer together. But there are a lot of important issues that still stand out that need to be resolved. And I don't know if that will happen in my lifetime. I just, there's a lot of stuff out there.
But the belief system is largely the same. It's a Trinity.
It is.
A God Father and a Holy Spirit or a Holy Ghost.
It absolutely is. Yes.
And so
the role
many
of the Mother of God, Mary, is very important in both the West and East, as opposed to the other, what I call fringe religions, Lutheran, Methodist, they're not so much built on around the Theotokos, but, you know, the Mother of God, but we'll see.
Does it throw some people that, I believe some of the holidays, the calendar is different, correct? The liturgical calendar.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. The Serbian church is on what is considered the Julian calendar, the old calendar. So our Christmas is actually January the 7th, mm-hmm. as opposed to December 25th. The problem with the two calendars, I mean, I see practically my own parish, you know, most families with students and children, you know, they have the Christmas break from December 29th or 19th to the, you know, January 2nd or 3rd. And then we start our Christmas, you know, so it makes it tough for them, you know. But I think the nice part about having Christmas 2 weeks removed from December 25th is that we can really focus on the spirituality. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not caught up in the commercialism. And like my wife always, kids are children, you know, you can get all the good sales after Christmas.
There are practical benefits as well. And sometimes Easter, for instance, I believe this year Easter coincided on both calendars.
Easter was the same this year. Yeah. Next year it's going to be a week apart again.
Okay. We're talking with Father Stephen Rocknich. He is the pastor of St. Sava's Serbian Orthodox Church in McKeesport, stsavapa.org. They're also very active on social media. What was your personal faith journey? I'm assuming you were raised in the Orthodox Church, or am I incorrect?
No, I was. I was born and raised in the Serbian Church, Holy Resurrection in Steubenville, Ohio. Went and got my master's degree in counseling psychology. I was professor of psychology at the College of Steubenville for years, mm-hmm. director of counseling there. And then I came home one day and told my wife, I said, you know what? I think God's calling me to go to the seminary. So we went to St. Vladimir Seminary in 1985. And I graduated in 88, and I came to McKeesport in 1988.
What was the...
Been here ever since.
I always ask people in the clergy this, no matter what their faith tradition is. When did you hear the call? How did you know it was the call?
Good question. I never felt truly fulfilled in counseling and teaching. I just thought there was something missing. And because I was pretty active in my native parish in Steubenville, singing in the choir. I was teen coordinator for our teen classes. That really appealed to me. And I thought, you know, in my prayers, you know, God would show me where I needed to go with that. And he did. He said, you know, move your wife and two small children to New York City. My father-in-law, God rest his soul, was not happy. He said, what are you doing? You can be chairman of the psychology department in 3 or 4 years. Why are you moving? Why are you going to seminary? But it worked out.
That's something that probably throws people as well from the Roman Church to the Church of Constantinople, is that clergy, for the most part, I believe in the Church of Constantinople, can get married and have a family, whereas the Roman Church, they generally are celibate.
In the Orthodox Church, yes. Mm-hmm. Candidates for the priesthood must be married, if they want to be married, must be married before they're ordained.
Okay.
Once they're ordained, they, you know, if you're not married, you have to stay celibate. Mm-hmm. But again, I think that goes back to the earliest Christian times. I mean, 11 of the 12 apostles were all married.
Yeah.
And I think the Western Church wasn't late until like the 7th or 8th century they did away with married clergy. And I my own personal belief to that detriment, because, you know, I have found in counseling couples for marital classes, you know, thank God I'm married. I know exactly what they struggle with. I mean, it really helps to be able to reach out to them and share with them, you know, here's the challenge of being married, of sharing your life, but also here's the goodness to it.
We have another break coming up. The time goes quickly, but before we get to the break, I want to start this question, and we may finish it after the break. You got to McKeesport in, I believe you said, 1988, so that would have been right around the time that the steel mills were closing, that the G.C. Murphy Company was closing, Westinghouse was closing factories. It was a very difficult time to move to Western Pennsylvania. How did you find it?
Not that different from leaving Steubenville.
Okay.
Because Steubenville was a big steel mill town.
Yeah,
and what I realized was, you know, the void that they're feeling with their employment has got to be filled up with their spiritual life. Mm-hmm. And to my parish's credit, and I've got a wonderful parish, great people, they realized that void, and they were able to find different jobs, odds and ends, but they really kind of focused back on getting back into the church, and that really helped. That really helped.
Let's take our pause right there. When we come back, let's pick it up at that same thought of how the parish has endured over these last two generations since the loss of the steel industry. And also, when I ask you, you mentioned you've got a number of converts who are have converted to Orthodox Church.
Yes.
What is the process for someone who comes in and maybe is searching for a faith tradition? They're church shopping, as young people say. How do they do that if they want to maybe browse at St. Sava's, okay?
Very good.
And we'll be back in 30 seconds to wrap things up.
Support for this broadcast comes from Striffler's Family Funeral Homes. Since 1866, Striffler's has provided compassionate, professional memorial services for families at White Oak, McKeesport, Dravosburg, Portview, and the surrounding areas. Striffler's offers comprehensive pre-planning services and aftercare. And through its affiliated company, Design Monuments, Striffler's also provides permanent markers and memorials crafted in stone, bronze, and other high-quality materials. Learn more at strifflers.com. Or call 412-678-6191.
Back for a final few minutes with Father Stephen Rocknich from St. Sava Serbian Orthodox Church. So when you came to McKeesport 1988, the mills are still there, but for the most part, many of them are closed. Thousands of mostly men, but some women out of work all over McKeesport, Duquesne, Homestead, West Mifflin. How did you and the parish then kind of hold body and soul together?
I think one of the things that helped was that you had a lot of, at least in my parish context here, a lot of the older ones had the wisdom to share with the younger ones, you know, go out, get retrained, get retooled, get reeducated. And they did that. And they were able to move on from their laboring jobs to different areas of employment that really helped them see that they could get on with their life and not have to worry about the steel mills closing. So for the most part, that helped. The other thing that really helped was, you know, the Penn State local campus here. We had some parishioners who were employees there, and they helped influence some of the out of work people to go back to school.
Yeah.
And really, you know, find, you know, technical jobs that they could sort of plug into their life and move on. And that really helped as well.
You mentioned, jumping ahead a little bit, you mentioned with the Kosovo War, there was some migration to the United States, including to Western Pennsylvania. I knew one or two people, actually, when I was in college who had moved to the area from Serbia. But I'm assuming most of your parishioners now are fourth, fifth, sixth generation.
Sure.
What is bringing you? You mentioned you've got a number of new converts who are going through the catechism process right now. What brings them to St. Sava's, searching for something? What are they looking for?
Well, as you and I mentioned initially, I think, you know, in today's society, with all that's going on, I mean, and good Lord, we could spend a whole day programming of what's going on in our society. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, there's a sense that unless there's something deep within us that will give us stability and help us have that moral inclination to do what's good and proper and right, you're going to be searching the rest of your life to find happiness. Yeah. I think with the converts, at least in my context here, they were searching. They were on websites. They were, you know, two of the guys actually were driving around in the local area finding church and just going to churches for like weeks on end.
I've heard of, again, I mentioned church shopping. I've heard of people doing that. That's a little scary, actually. I think that would be a little intimidating.
Sure. And one of the first things that I was asked, because, you know, the sign outside on Harvard Street says the Saints of a Serbian Orthodox Church. And, you know, to a person, they would say to me, do I have to be Serbian? I said, absolutely not. I said, as you know, as you'll see when you come to the services, you know, 90% of our services are done in English. Mm-hmm. They have to be. We're in America. I mean, you know. So that's, but I also think it goes back to, you've got to feel welcome when you come to a community. And we've got some wonderful greeters in our parish that they really make people feel at home. You know, they welcome them. They let me know that someone's there. I introduce myself to them, you know, at the end of the service. I ask them to stop down for fellowship. We're able to talk. So We've been blessed. I mean, it's a good situation. It really is.
What will they find when they walk through the door? Because that's something that, as I visited churches over the years, especially if it's outside of one of my traditions, I kind of have to grope to, okay, what's the prayer book? What's the hymnal? What's the missal? What's the...
Right.
What would they find if they came to St. Salva's on a Sunday?
If they came in on a Sunday, yeah. First of all, they would hear wonderful music. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have a... I kind of cheat a little bit because I put on some wonderful Orthodox hymnography in the PA system before we start our matin service.
Yeah.
But then once the matin service starts, they hear these wonderful words of the Psalms and of the biblical teachings that are praised and chanted and they get it. I mean, there's Bibles in the pews for them to follow. Mm-hmm. There's service books for them to follow in English. So. That really helps.
And if they're coming, maybe they were raised in a faith tradition, but they drifted away. If they're coming from one of the mainline Protestant traditions or Roman Catholicism, or they're going to recognize probably a lot of the elements of the liturgy, huh?
Sure, they will. The difference being that in Orthodoxy, it's not so much that the priest, the celebrant, is doing all the work.
Right.
It's what we consider. Is the collective body of Christ that is when they'll hear the dialogue between the priest and the choir singing, but representing the whole congregation. Let us lift up our hearts, we lift them up to the Lord. Yeah. Let us give thanks to the Lord. We all do that. So there's a collective sense of I'm involved in this. Thank God.
And if they come to you as an adult and they have never been baptized or confirmed or accepted into any church, they can go through the entire formation process with St. Salva's?
Yes, we have a catechumen process. I just baptized a young woman this past weekend. She's going to get married in the church, but she was searching and she found our church through her boyfriend at the time, who was just converted to Orthodoxy, and she's just on fire with the Holy Spirit. Thank God. So, but she went through probably, I guess it was about a 6-month process where we took her through catechism classes and went through different things, practical issues, but also spiritual issues. So that's our process.
Final thoughts on the Taste of Serbia Festival. Like I said, if they're hearing this Sunday morning, unfortunately, they're going to have to wait until 2026 when you're celebrating your 125th. But what are you looking forward to with the Taste of Serbia?
Just a wonderful opportunity to open our doors to our community. We've tried to keep involved with our local community here. We've got our fish fries. We've had concerts, music concerts. We used to be involved in International Village, but that's just the distance and trying to transport food and that. And
it's a lot of work. People do not understand how much work it is.
I mean, for our 2-day Serb Fest and Taste of Serbia now, it's just as much work, but it's a lot better because we're here. Everything's here. And we're able to just open our doors and welcome everybody.
Any special plans, or are they still coming together for the 125th anniversary next year?
We've got some pretty big plans. I mean, we have some bishops coming. We're going to have a big banquet at Stratigos Saturday, November the 7th, 2026, after the Holy Hierarchical Liturgy. We're going to have some music entertainment, obviously. We've got a couple of local choirs. So it's going to be a big deal. We're the third oldest parish in the United States.
Wow.
Serbian Orthodox.
We look forward to finding out more. SaintSavaPA.org.
We will definitely contact you for publicity on that.
Thank you very much. I will be looking forward to that. Father Stephen Rognich is the pastor of St. Sava Serbian Orthodox Church in McKeesport, 901 Hartman Street, SaintSavaPA.org. Just wrapping up, as you're hearing us, their 6th annual Taste of Serbia Festival. Father Rocknich, thank you so much for taking some time to talk with us.
Thank you, Jason. It's been a pleasure.
And thank you all for listening this week to Two Rivers 30 Minutes. So long for now.
You've been listening to Two Rivers 30 Minutes, copyright Tube City Community Media Incorporated. Opinions expressed on this program are not those of Tube City Community Media Incorporated. Listener support makes this program possible. If you'd like to make a tax-deductible contribution, please visit our website at tubecityonline.com. And click on the donate link. You can also get a free subscription to this program and other podcasts at our website using Apple's iTunes or Stitcher.com. If you've got a question or comment, we hope you'll write to us. Our address is Tube City Community Media Incorporated, P.O. Box 94, McKeesport, PA, 15134. You can email us at TubeCityTiger@gmail.com or call us at area code 412-614-9659. And you can find us on Facebook and Twitter at Tube City Online.